This month, sir. All right, so, all right, Allison, come on up and read your book. Bring your book, we'll let Owen sing, I know.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Kevin, watch this coming, you know, we went on this trip and it was Sunday morning and I said, somebody's gonna have to pray because, you know, we gotta have church, this is Sunday. So this, I said, Jeff Brummett, would you get up and pray? So he got up and prayed and then later on, he did it every day for us, but then later on he came up to me and he said, you know, Teresa, I just buried my brother-in-law on Friday, lost his sister a year ago, lost a nephew, and he said, I was almost giving up on God. And he said, I don't know why you picked me of everybody that's on that bus to pray, but it sure has helped my faith. It's helped me walk. It's helped me get closer. It's helped me to know where my help comes from. So just remember that boy.
Do you pray for us, Lord, help us?
Yeah.
I know that man is sober.
thankful. Hey, praise the Lord. Somebody else. Let's open up our Bibles. I've been trying to preach this message for about a month, and I'm looking forward to preaching it. And so you pray for us, Lord, to help us. Book of Acts, chapter number 9. Book of Acts, chapter number 9. I sure appreciate the Lord letting us come back to the house of God one more time. And I was just thinking about it, and I probably, no doubt, it's not an original thought or anything like that, but these folks in the nursing home that love to be where you're sitting at tonight, and these folks in the hospital room, hey, some folks laying at the house that like to be where you're sitting at right now. And so I sure thank God. I always think about we're getting ready to go, and so I'm thinking more about Africa. But they kept one church. They had a little concrete pad underneath and whatever kind of trees they got over there. And that was their church. And boy, I'll tell you, it sure feels good to be in here in a good warm place when it's cold outside. Amen. I always think about Brother Huey anytime I think about it getting cold or rainy. He'd always never fail. He'd say something. He'd say, boy, it's good to have a good warm place when it's raining. Good to have a good cool place when it's hot. Amen. I mean, we ought to thank God for the house of God. Amen. Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 9, you pray for us. Lord, help us tonight. And I'm already happy. I don't even have to preach myself there. Bible said in Acts 9 verse 31, said, then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight, and God, I thank you so much, Lord. I mean, what about you just letting us come to the house of God one more time? And Father, I thank you tonight, and Lord, that you've helped us as good as you have. And Lord, we understand we're living in fallen flesh and in this tabernacle. But God, I got to read this today. And God, happy Lord. And when the Apostle Peter said, he said that I must shortly put off this tabernacle as the Lord has shown me. And the Lord, but while I'm in it, thank God, I'm going to do the best I can to stir us up by way of remembrance. I'd ask you, Lord, to help us now. Give us good unction, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And Lord, to say everything you'd want me to, and not to say nothing that you wouldn't. And Father, I pray tonight, I know, and that Lord, sometimes when I get as happy as I am, and the Lord, I've been looking forward to it. And God, I pray, help me, Lord, and not to outpace you, Lord, but I pray and just to stay right where you want me to be. Lord, I love you tonight. You know I mean it. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Of course, been preaching there sometimes on, from time to time on Wednesday nights. I don't know what the church ought to be and what the first church was and how we ought to get back to the pattern. And we looked at how the church is sure to spread and how the church is sure to be sanctified and the church is sure to be satisfied and the church is sure, thank God, listen, in this passage of scripture where we looked at, yes, the church is sure to be sheltered. And I want to go on record as saying, thank God, I'm glad I'm sheltered safe in the arms of the Lord. Amen. blessed friend. I can't think of a safer place to be. You've heard me say it, and I'm saying it again tonight. That made me happy the first time, made me happy every time I've said it. But I'll never forget when we was in that old church building and over there, no Arnie Swan getting up and testifying about how he is getting ready to go right into Mindanao, and all the Muslims that was there in ISIS and everything. And he said, I looked over at my wife and I said, I don't want to put my wife in harm's way. And he said, my wife's parents said, surely you're not taking our daughter over to that place. He said, man, I got to pray it. And he said, then I got to think it. Daniel in the lion's den is safe. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He said, thank God, three Hebrew children and the fiery furnace is safe. Amen. He said, Arnie Swan in Mindanao is safe. Amen. And boy, that makes me happy all over. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, I'm glad that the born again believers in Christ, that we are safe and sound. And for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. That's a mind that's free from error. Amen. That means, thank God, we got a sound mind that's based on sound doctrine. And so where we stand at because of the good doctrine and what the Bible says, I can be free in my mind and knowing I got a heavenly Father, and that if he can take care of the sparrows and he can take care of all the bees, and thank God ye sure enough can take care of me. Amen. And so I want you to watch this. I mean, we looked at last time how we're sheltered inside the church, and thank God for the church of God. I mean, I like coming in just seeing people. Don't it make you happy? I mean, it makes me happy just to walk in the house of God and look over to my right or left, Brother Matt. And so right there is Brother Matt, and he's happy in the Lord. Amen. And to see all the brothers and sisters, I said the other night, I want to thank God for a church of the living God, how God has made us blood kin, and not by natural, but by spiritual. Amen. And so thank God. I ain't related to no Cogers, thank God, naturally, but I got a brother right here, spiritually. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God. I mean, you get to thinking about every good thing the Lord's done for us, but we're sheltered in the church. And so we fight hell outside the church, and then when we walk in the church, hey, thank God we don't have to put on airs and don't have to put on masks, and we can just come in as we are, and thank God, knowing that there's a God in heaven and knows what we are. There's freedom for me in not having a hypocrite to be your friend. Amen. I mean, listen, I'd hate to think I had to go around pretending to be something I'm not all the time for somebody else. It's good just to be able to be you, problems and all. And say, this is, hey, look here, I've got a messed up flesh. I've got a messed up mind. I've got a lot of things wrong with me. But when I come in the house of God, I'm reminded I'm in a place where God fixes messed up people. Amen. And to thank God. And the good news is, you ain't never been so messed up that he couldn't fix you. Amen. And so listen, let me say this. We find that we're first sheltered inside the sanctuary. That's the construction of the saints. But then I thought about this. Watch what he says next. He said, walking in the fear of the Lord. I thought, thank God, this first church, hey, was sheltered from society. Now listen, I want you to now stay with me right here. I got to thinking about things they weren't afraid of. I mean, there's a lot of folks that I talk to, they seem like they're afraid. And the topic of choice, when you walk in the drugstore, usually everybody says something like this. They say, boy, I don't know how this election's going to turn out to you. Amen. And they're afraid of it, thank God. And they say, boy, listen, Brother Kevin. He said, if Harris gets in office, I said, our country's doomed. I've heard that 10,000 times. But listen, let me go on record of saying this. For the born-again believers, I'm not about to have the blood bought by the power of God. And let me say this to you. God kept the church through Nebuchadnezzar. He kept it through Darius. He kept it through Nero. He kept it through Domitian. And now where we're standing at, he'll keep on keeping it. Amen. Hey, thank God. Hey, listen, I'm not walking in fear of an election every day. I want to go on record of saying this. And the people of God don't have to be afraid of the economy. Amen. I hear that a lot of times. I'll say, boy, before long, I will be standing back in the bread line, won't we? And listen, let me go on record of saying this here tonight. I had to look this up. I got to check it around. You know what the biggest pearl ever made was? That's called a gigapearl. And it weighs about 60 pounds. And they say it's worth about 200 million. And a 60 pound pearl, that would not be enough to make 1/4 of the gate that's going to be in heaven. And the last time I checked, there's 12 of them, amen. And so it looks like to me that there's not an economy problem in heaven. And the street is still paved with gold. And the walls are still made of jasper. And the gate is still made of pearl. And the last time I checked, and the people of God, I have always been and will always be taken care of, amen. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, thank God. That makes me happy. Listen, you say, preacher, what about in time of famine? You ever read 1 Kings 17? Thank God found Elijah. He's over here next to a brook. Times are pretty bad for everybody but Elijah. Elijah sitting by the brook, and every morning and every evening, an old raven goes out. He must be getting the bread off the king's table, and he brings it right down to it. Amen. I get it direct out of heaven, amen. Hey, listen, let me say this. I said the other night when I was preaching revival, every day for 40 years in a desert, no 7-Elevens in a desert, no Walmarts in a desert. I thank God for 40 long years. Every day, thank God, and God took care of his people. He said to do it, it would have taken 3 freight trains over a mile long, 2,000 tons of food every single day. You say, where did it came from? God said man did eat angels' food. I got good news for you. Listen to me now. Don't get too excited. No, I might run on this lately. Before God would let his people do without, and let the angels in heaven do without. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I can tell you this. He took food that belonged to them, and for 40 years took care of his people. That makes me feel special. Amen. Maybe I don't do nothing for you, but thank God. Listen, it helps me a little bit to think that there might be an angel had to do without. Just the way Kevin could get to eat one day. I'm saying this, amen. I'm not worried about the election. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about our environment. Amen. Folks say, oh, Brother Kevin, I'm looking pretty dark. I know it is, amen. It was looking pretty dark in Noah's day. And thank God everybody died, except for those eight. Amen. Hey, listen, looking pretty dark in Lot's day. But I'll tell you what God did. And the Bible said, the angel said, I'll get you out of this place. I said, for we can do nothing until you're gone. Amen. And I'm saying this to you, friend. God will take care of us until he's done taking care of us. And when he's done taking care of us, he'll have already called us up. Amen. He'll have already opened up that door into another world. Heard a voice lean over the balcony and said, come up hither. And thank God, listen, and we'll be well satisfied then. Amen. I'm saying this, there's a lot of folks walking in the fear of about everything. Hey, walking in the fear of economy, but heaven. And the Lord Jesus still owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And they're worried about the election. But my election still and calling still sure. And I hope yours has too. I got thinking about some other things. As you get down through there, there's a lot of folks, and they're worried about the end times. I hear this a lot today. I've get more calls. Listen, every time Mike, a bomb goes off in Israel, I get more calls about Daniel chapter number 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Revelation. I say, Brother Kevin, we're there. Matthew 24. And I can tell you one thing's for sure. We are not in tribulation. And I'll guarantee that. How you say, how do you know, preacher? I'm still here. Amen. And if you're saved, you're still here. And the Bible said, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. At Revelation chapter 3, I told the church of Philadelphia, he said, I will keep thee from the hour which is to try the whole earth. I'm saying this, thank God. I'm not worried about the end times, are you? Amen. Hey, listen, every time I pray for Israel, I think it's our duty to pray for Israel. But friend, you start talking about the end of time. If the end of time comes at midnight tonight, I'd like somebody to speed my clock forward. Amen. Let's go ahead and get there. I'm not dreading it. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Hey, thank God. Listen, friend. I mean, what a blessing it'll be. I don't remember who I was talking to in the church the other day, and whoever you are, it's just you, all right? How about I was talking to somebody the other day about that old song that old Charlie used to sing back in Scott County? I said, I just started living. Amen. Oh, what a good song. Amen. Hey, friend, listen. You think we're having a good time now? You just wait. Amen. I'm saying this, friend. At that first church, they wasn't worried about the election. They wasn't worried about the economy. They wasn't worried about the end times. I'm going to go on record saying this. They wasn't even worried about the enemy. Amen. Hey, listen. They're only worried about the eternal God of glory. That's the only person on their mind. That's the only thing on their mind. It's what the will of the Lord was for them. Amen. Now watch what he says. He said, walking in the fear of the Lord. I got thinking about that, and I know we're living around. Thank God, Lord, you help me here. We're living around a bunch of folks that you hear this all the time. Said the Lord does not want you to walk around being afraid of him. Well, I'm not sure what Bible they read, but it's not this one. Amen. And let's look here. Over and over, he says, fear him rather. Amen. How that's able to destroy both body and soul hell. He said, for the beginning to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to say this, friend. You ought to be afraid of God. Don't you think that's right? I mean, you ought to step back where you're sitting at. I look up and say, God, he's a God in heaven. I know how wicked I am. I deserve to die and go to hell then. I deserve to die and go to hell now. And the only reason I don't is because I've fallen on the sheer mercies of God. Amen. And the only reason, thank God, that I'm not burning in hell right now, it's the good grace of God. And if he changed his mind at any point, he'd do whatever he wants to do. And there's nobody have to hold him accountable for anything else. He is bound simply by his own word. Amen. And by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. And thank God that we might have a strong refuge, a strong consolation, that fled for refuge, and to lay hold of the hope set before us, and which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, and both sure and steadfast, of that which entereth into the veil. I'm saying this, thank God. Of this church, when they was walking around, they wasn't afraid of Nero, and they wasn't afraid of their family, they wasn't afraid of foes, and they only had one person in mind, and it was the Lord. Amen. Yep. Now listen, I want you to listen to me. You know why some folks are so terribly uncomfortable trying to, here's a song, and it's not real spiritual, but it's a little spiritual, okay? This old English preacher, he sings this song talking about how you need to get off the fence. And you know why there's so many folks that's uncomfortable in the house of God? That's because they're walking in fear of about everything except for the Lord. And it shows up in the way they dress, and it shows up in the way they act, it shows up in the words they say, it shows up in what they listen to. And the fear of the Lord is not their motivator, amen. But I'll tell you this, there's rest when you're fearing in the Lord, amen. I'll prove it to you in Jeremiah 6, verse number 16. He said, go stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And he said, and ye shall find rest for your soul. I'll tell you this, walking in the Lord's commandments, that brings rest on the inside.
There's just something about, look at me, friend. Hey, something about laying your head down at night and saying, oh my, I'm trying to do what God said. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Oh, how many folks today have they named the name of Christ? But if the Lord says, hey, you ought to pray, they say, I ain't praying. If he says, thank God, children, hey, you ought to study, they say, I ain't studying. Hey, say, you ought to live right, said, I ain't doing it. Hey, you ought to pay my bills, I ain't paying them. Hey, they say, you ought not drink, they say, I'm going to drink, amen. Hey, you ought not play the lottery, I'm going to do that too. And then you say, Brother Kevin, I just don't ever feel too much. Hey, well, I know the reason, amen. I'll tell you where I'd start at. I'd get back to walking in the fear of the Lord, amen. Yeah, thank God. Listen, how folks like to come in the house of God and they look around and they say, I'll never forget as long as I live. One of my best friends growing up, name is Brumby. Stephen Brumbelow, we called him Brumby. And he said to us, hey, he said, Brother Kevin, he said, I go to church out here. I won't name the name of church. He said, go to church out here. And he said, where I go? He said, on Saturday night, we all go party together. And he said, and on Sunday morning, they're singing in the youth choir. He said, why in the world would I want what they got? And you know, there's a lot of folks is standing here, and here's what I told him, Donnie, and I believe this is right. I said, they probably don't got what you think they got. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. I'm saying this, friend. How the Bible is real plain. I thank God, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Isn't that right? Don't y'all think that's what it says? Amen. I, look here, I'm not, I don't speak Hebrew and Greek, but I can read a little English. Amen. And what he said right there in English, that's real plain to understand. I'm saying this, we ought to walk in the fear of the Lord's commandments, amen. Amen. You start framing your doings by the word of God, and you ain't got to worry about what's happening over here, over here. Hey, you only focused on what's happening up here. And I thought not only we ought to be walking in the fear of the Lord's commandments, but thank God, listen, friend, we ought to be walking in remembrance of the Lord's crucifixion. How you want to get some rest for your soul? I'm going to tell you, I've said this before. There's not nobody, including Kevin Sexton or anybody in this room, there's nobody that's born again by the good grace of God that can have on their mind the price that was paid for their soul while they're getting ready to do something that's against God. You can't do it. I'll tell you this, amen. Hey, you get ready to click on something and then the Lord just brings to your mind that price that was paid. I'll guarantee you, preacher, if you still do it, thank God, you ought to check in on whether you're born again by the good grace of God. Hey, you can't think about the stripes and the beard that was plucked and the furrows that was made and the side that was exposed and the thorns that was on his head and say, I believe I'll just go sin anyhow. It don't work like that, amen.
Good preacher,
amen.
That's right.
Here's a preacher said there's trouble on every side. Well, the Bible said we are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed, amen. We're perplexed, but not in despair. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I don't know, somewhere between verses 10 and 17, all right? And he said, thank God, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed, amen. And the next part said, always appearing in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know why they wasn't distressed? Even though they're troubled, he was thinking about what the Lord went through. And they said, man, if he went through that, we sure enough would like a little bit of it. Amen. And they wasn't worried about all that suffering. They wasn't worried about the trouble and the distress. And they knew the same God that endured it would give them grace to. And I'm saying this, if you can think about the crucifixion, it'll help you to walk in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Do you think that's right? I'm going to go on record as saying this. You know what else will help us walk in the fear of the Lord? Is the Lord's coming. You would not be caught back. You look at me, friend. Everybody smile at me. I feel like some of you is mad at me, and I'm not sure why. Amen. I'm going to say this. There's no chance in this world. If you thought, I don't know what time it is, let's call it 7:45. I don't know. But let's say it's 7:45. If you knew in this room, saved or lost, that the Lord's going to show up at 8, no chance you're in a bar at 8.
You guarantee that.
That's right.
Right.
Hallelujah.
chance. You're no chance in this world. You're standing in place. You know what happens though? Hey, you know what happens if we think at 8 o'clock the Lord's coming back? You know where everybody's going to be at 7:45? Hey, man, that's right. I find theirself in a church on an altar. I'm saying, God, help me to get right. And God, I'll tell you this, we wouldn't worry about who's to the next of us. Oh, we're here. It'd probably be the awfulest confession that had ever been done. But I'm going to tell you this, and when we think that the Lord's coming back, it'll help you to walk in a fear of Him. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You'll find rest in that. Right. You live every moment like the Lord's coming back, it'll keep you from sin, and I'll guarantee it. Amen. It'll bring rest to you. Won't it? I'm telling you, I'm pretty happy. Praise God. Here's what the Bible says. I mean, you read it over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Thank God.
Amen. Yeah. Voice of the archangel. Right. Trump of God. Yeah. Dead in Christ rise first. Right. We which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen. And that next verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yeah. And the coming of the Lord doesn't bring fear on the believers. It brings comfort. Amen. 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 They was walking. I just see them out there, old Philip. He said, I'll tell you what, I'd like to stay in Samaria. We're having revival. And the Lord said, you better get down, to the desert. They said, Lord, I wonder if the Lord might come back today. He said, I believe I'll get down to the desert. You know, the Lord doesn't have a money problem, and he don't have a message problem. You know, the only thing he's got's a man problem. What happened to all my help on that one? Where'd my help go on that one? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, he send forth more. He ain't got a message problem. It's plain. You ain't even got to, try to look here. Done told. Go tell it. Just retell it. He don't have, and look here, he don't have to worry about how to get you there. He's just waiting on somebody that wants to do it. And I'm going to say this. If we thought the Lord really was coming back, I know we all say it. Say, oh, Brother Kevin, I believe the Lord's coming soon. Not near as soon as we act like we do. Y'all think that's right? If we really knew how soon it was, sinners would get in. Saints would be praying. We'd be witnessing. We'd be doing just a little bit of everything. So they walked in the comfort. Listen, they walked in the fear of the Lord. With me. They walked in the fear of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. Now, I can done already tell some of you done got mad at me on one of them points right there. And all I can tell you is this. If you're mad at me looking at you now, what do you think it'll be like when you see Him? I think you'll find this in Psalms 2. Somewhere in Psalms 2. It's a short psalm. Go read it. It said, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Hey, and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled, but a little. Better be afraid of Him. He comes back. I've done read what He looks like when He's coming back. Not a grandpa with a long white beard trying to bless everybody. No, fiery eyes, brass feet, sword going out of His mouth. That's the Lord, friend. Amen. Watch your Bibles here. It says they walk into the fear of the Lord. And I like this next part. I'm talking about how the church is sheltered. Construction of the saints in the church. And then we find that the concern for the Savior kept them sheltered from society. But I like this next part. He said, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hey, man. Comfort of the Spirit of God. Hey, that keeps you sheltered on the inside. That's like insulation, amen. Hey, thank God, I don't know about nobody else. I get to thinking about everything the Spirit helps us to do in this age. And I'll tell you, amen, I sure enough am glad for the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, look here, friend. You couldn't do nothing in this age unless God in heaven helps you to do it. Couldn't do a thing. Y'all listening? I'm saying this. You know what the Bible says for the believer? I believe this church was this way. They were concerned with being filled with the Spirit of God. They were filled by it. What is that? Ephesians 4, 5. Ephesians 4:30 teaches us that we're sealed by it. I think it's Ephesians 5, somewhere in that neck of the woods. It says, and be ye filled, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Romans 6, verses 8 and 13 teaches us that we ought to yield our instruments unto God. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be sealed by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and yielded to the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Ain't that right? Yeah. Y'all think that's right?
Yeah.
I wonder, let's all be honest with ourselves for just a minute. See, this church was consumed with being filled with the Spirit. I wonder how many folks tonight are interested in really being full of the Holy Ghost of God. I'll tell you this, that early church, they get to walking, they get to going down through there, and a viper jumps up, snatches on one of them's hand. I love it. Paul shook it off. And I like that, but I like the next part even better. He said, and he felt no harm.
That's right.
You know why? God's helping him. We can't shake nothing off these days. We can carry our feelings on our shoulders. We can't shake. We can't shake off the world. We can't shake off somebody wronging us. Yeah. We can't shake off. When we come to the house of God and say, "Oh, I want to be full of God," you don't get full of God in the house of God. You get full of God every day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm still happy. Amen. Whether you are or not, thank the Lord. I got thinking about everything He helps us. Listen, I'm going to tell you that one of the things He does is He comforts us by leading us. You don't have to ask nobody if you're saved. Now, we may go through times. I mean, I'm not talking about, I may go through times of doubt, and I'm not saying that. But even if you do, you'll not find out you're really saved by talking to somebody else. No, but I'll tell you what it says over there in Romans chapter number 8. It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's pretty plain, ain't it? Thank God. Hallelujah, amen.
Amen.
Said, whoever's led by Him. You say, Brother Kevin, I ain't never been led by the Spirit of God.
Oh my.
I'm going to say this. You listen to me. You ain't never been led by Him. You probably don't belong to Him.
That's right.
He comforts us.
That's exactly right.
By leading us. Amen.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking about that holy. Listen, I'm on park right here for just a second. I'm talking about that Holy Ghost of God that puts in your heart and tells you what you ought not do,
yeah.
And tells you what you ought to do. And it's not based on a dream, and it's not based on your conscience.
No, sir. No, sir.
It's based upon the authority of a living God.
Oh,
and listen, there's people. Look here. These people walk out of church.
Yeah.
Not bother them a bit.
Oh my.
I mean, they walk out of a church, go fornicate, and it never bothers them.
Preach, brother.
Somebody help me right
yeah.
there.
Right.
Y'all know that's right.
Yes.
They walk out of church, and man, I mean, before they get out of there, they done. I mean, they're turned up. And you know what, Brother Savage? It don't bother them. And then they come back in the house of God and they say, man, I'm saved too. Look here, friend, listen. You can say you're a helicopter pilot, but that don't make it so.
That's right.
You keep doing everything contrary to the Scripture.
Yeah, buddy.
And the Holy Ghost is never what's leading your life. You ain't never going to have no comfort. And I'm going to say this, if you are saved and you're trying to override the Spirit of God, you ain't going to have no comfort.
No.
Say, I don't know if I'm saved. Are you living in sin? Are you saved living in sin?
Yeah.
Not going to have no comfort.
Right.
Amen.
Preach, brother.
He leads us. He labors with us. Boy, I like that real good. I like. I'm feeling. I'm listening. The Lord's He's stirred my heart on the inside. I'm telling you. I get to thinking about. Maybe you don't never pray for what's wrong, or you got stammering lips, or nothing like that. But for the rest of us, the Bible teaches us, for the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities.
Yeah.
Boy, I like that. I think, man alive, Lord, you're leading me, and then you're laboring with. So he's got me by the hand. And then Miss Irene, on top of that, he'll stop sometimes. He'll say, all right, here's what he's trying to say, but he's got it all wrong. Said, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to ask for as we ought. So the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know why you can't utter it? Because you don't speak that language. That's God's language. Amen. And so God, listen, boy, you don't get no better than this. So whenever we come as man, faulty and messed up, and we pray, God intercedes to God on our behalf. Really, it's God interceding to God, interceding to God.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Holy Spirit takes it to the Son. Son pleads it through the blood. Heavenly Father answers it. He grants it based on the Son, delivers it by the Spirit, and it comes back to where you and I are. Hallelujah. And ain't none of us in here that deserves any of that. But that comforts me. I mean, I get comforted from learning the Scripture. Come to a place, you say, Lord, I don't know what this means. You know what you do? You ask the author. You say, you wrote the book. You probably know what it means. Y'all guess that's right? He wrote it. Amen. Holy men of God wrote and spake as they was moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So he wrote it. And you say, Lord, what's this mean? And listen, here's the kicker. Everybody listen to me. I want to help everybody right here, and I'm going to teach for just a second. I'm going to be done. You don't just get to say, well, this is what it means to me. Nobody cares what it means to you.
Right.
I wasn't trying to be ugly when I said that. It don't matter. You take three verses out of context and build about every false doctrine you want to. God's not concerned with what you feel about it. See, he gives you the parameters. Whenever the Bible says, for no prophecy is of private interpretation. In other words, the only right way to divide the Scripture is line upon line, precept upon precept. What it means here compared to what it means here, not compared to your thoughts or my thoughts. What it says. Amen. You say, how do you get that? The Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with the Scriptures. Amen.
Yep.
Listen, let me say this to you. Y'all stand to your feet. I'm going to tell you one thing. You know what comforts me in preaching? Listen to me. It's the Spirit that gives us liberty. Amen. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And Brother John, whenever I go in some places and I say, didn't have much liberty. You know what you're really saying?
No spirit.
No spirit.
Right.
Doesn't been grieved out of it. Quenched out of it. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. So this early church, they're walking around like this. And they come into the house of God and they get construction of the saints and they're concerned with the Savior. And while they walk every day, they're comforted by the Spirit of God. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
I want to look like this church. I want this church to look like this church.
Amen.
Our concern be the Savior, being filled with the Spirit, being interested in building up one another, not look up here at me, not biting and devouring on one another.
Amen.
Not biting and devouring on one another. We don't need anybody else talking about people. Say amen. Amen, preacher. We don't need no more of that. We got too much of that going on. We need some folks that's interested in building up the people that's around them. Come play, honey. Come play. I've cleared my heart. I'm asking you this. Today, are you concerned about how the Lord feels about your walk?
Oh, yeah.
Comforted by the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Interested in building up the people around you. If you're not, the altar's open. If you're here and you're not saved, the Lord knows where you stand at. If you're here and you're out of fellowship with God, look here, friend. You do whatever you want to do, but there's a God in heaven that knows just exactly where you're at. And He's dealt right here in your heart.
And I'll go further. If he's not dealt in your heart, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd come and I'd beg God to deal in my heart.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You say, Brother Kevin, the Lord's not dealing with me, but I'd like for him to. Well, you're not real serious about it. If you was real serious about it, you'd get real serious about asking him to do it. Amen. Play, honey.